You are listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
سفر ہے کہیں ٹھہر جانے کی کوشش نہ کرنا سنو دل سے یارو سلام آخری ہے عزم آخری ہے کلام آخری ہے بدلا برائی نہیں ہے شرافت تو یہ ہے بھلائی کرو تم اگر راہ میں کوئی کانٹے بچھائے اسے بھی ستانے کی کوشش نہ کرنا سنو دل سے یارو سلام آخری ہے عزم آخری ہے کلام
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اہلاً وسہلاً ومرحباً بكم and welcome to another edition of the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Suleiman Yusuf, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 28th of Muharram of 1447, corresponding to Thursday the 24th of July 2025. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful day in Johannesburg. The sun is out, a little bit chill in the air, but Alhamdulillah, you know, yesterday also Allah Ta'ala blessed us with beautiful rain. There was some drizzle in the parts of Johannesburg, and they say that there was going to be some snow that's going to come through, but Allah knows best. And it'd be nice to see snow. I know a couple years ago there was some downfall of snow, but we make dua. And also remember, at the time of rain, duas are accepted, and the masnoon dua one should read, Allahumma sayyibun, sayyibun with a sword, Allahumma sayyibun nafi'a, Allahumma sayyibun nafi'a. And we make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant us beneficial rain. And if it is a heavy downfall, I know in the KwaZulu-Natal area, it's there's very heavy rains in KwaZulu-Natal, then one should read the masnoon dua, Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna. Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna. Oh Allah, let it rain around us, but not on top of us. That shouldn't be a destructive rain. It should be a rain of rahmah and not a rain of mercy and not a rain of destruction. Moving on with our show, inshallah, today we're going to be discussing, and is dedicated to the universal experience that we as humans have, and that is anger, gussa. And you know, it's a dangerous thing. And you know how when things are said out of anger, and you know, sparks can fly, flares can fly, things, you know, when a person is angry, sometimes they say things that they don't want to say, they're not meant to say, but then they say, you know, when a person is angry, anything that's holding in the heart, it comes out, and it can be very destructive, and it can also damage families, it can damage relationships, and even at the time of that emotion, when you are in that heat of the emotion, you know, you can say things that you don't want to say. Say things that you're going to regret later on for the rest of your life, and you won't be able to tell that person or explain to that person, you know what, what's happening, how am I going to do this here, how am I going to forgive myself, you know. So we should always be careful when we speak, because there's two parts in the body that have no bone but can cause a lot of damage. You know, Mufti Saab always mentions there's a saying, and I can stand to be corrected, jirmun sagir wa jurmun kabir. The size of the tongue is small, but the action it commits is great. So that's why we should be very careful of those two parts of the body that doesn't have the bone, but it can cause a lot of damage, and that is the tongue and the private part. So we should be very, very careful and should guard it at all times. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. So moving on with our show, we're going to be discussing the topic is on anger. And whilst anger is a natural emotion that we all feel, but we must learn how to control it. We need to control that anger, because sometimes it can be very uncontrollable. And people, you know, they say they only see red. They like have like a tunnel vision. They call it like tunnel vision, that you are only seeing this year, nothing else. And you only see, you want to cause destruction because you got so much anger, so much built up in you. Inshallah, we're going to go for a small break. We just need to check on something, and then we'll return to our show.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
We do apologize for that there. And like we were saying, what anger is a very uncontrollable emotion that can lead to regret. Like I was mentioning earlier, that it can destroy your inner soul, it can destroy relationships, and it can destroy everything. And it's very hard to mend what has been done. And Islam is such a beautiful deen, it's such a beautiful religion, that it provides us with such profound guidance and practical tools to manage, even with this emotion, that when you have it, it helps you to control your inner peace and join and control your tongue and your strength. So inshallah, we're going to be commencing, like always, we listen to two ayat from the Noble Quran, where Allah Ta'ala speaks about and pertaining our topic. So inshallah, we're going to be listening to a verse from Surah Ali Imran, ayat number
134. الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين.
And inshallah, our next surah that we're going to be listening to is Surah Ash-Shu'ara, from Surah Ash-Shu'ara and ayat number 37. So let us listen to this ayat here of the Noble Quran, Surah Ash-Shu'ara and ayat number 37. And this is all pertaining to, and Allah Ta'ala is helping us understand what has been said in the with regards to. And inshallah, we're going to be dissecting and reading the translation of these two particular ayats. And we will be diverse, and we're going to be dissecting these ayats and understanding, inshallah. So we're just waiting for these the second ayat to appear. And we're going to play it out for you, inshallah. But in the meantime, let's read the translation of the first ayat, and that is from Surah Al-Imran, ayat number 134. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, those who spend in the cause of Allah in ease and hardship, and those who restrain their anger and who pardon the people, and Allah loves the doers of good. So these verses beautifully highlight the Islamic perspective on anger and anger itself. We're going to listen to this ayat here. It's ayat is from Surah Ash-Shu'ara, ayat number 37.
وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ.
And these verses and the ayat that was read now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and those who avoid major sins and immoralities, and when they are angry, they forgive. That is from Surah Ash-Shu'ara, ayat number 37. So these verses highlight the Islamic perspective on anger, anger itself as an emotion. It is a natural human response, but it can be a necessary tool to react to injustice or defend when you are wrong, and when somebody tells you something which you dislike, which you are upset about. It is a normal human emotion for you to feel angry, to feel upset, that you know you want to tell this person off, you want to tell them 1, 2, 3 and all the other colorful languages. But no, Islam doesn't teach us how to do that there. Islam teaches us to restrain our anger, to be calm, and you know, To read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. You know, make wudu. Change your posture. If you're sitting down, stand up. Walk away. Don't get involved in such things. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself also showed anger when the sanctity of Allah's religion had been violated. You see, the problem arises when anger takes control of us. When we allow that emotion, like I was saying earlier, you know, when you see red, and when you see nothing else but you want to cause destruction, that's where the problem is. And even the hurtful words you will tell a person, you saw some people will say, you know what, I'm straightforward. I say it as it is. I call a spade a spade. Call a spade a spade, fair enough. But there's a way. It is a way in how you do it. There's a way in what you say. You can say the same thing without hurting the person. Sometimes we say things that will hurt the person, that they won't forget. You as a person might say, you know what, I say it what's on my chest and I let it out. But the person that it has been addressed to, there it will sit with and it will be so hurtful to them. They will start contemplating and they will start rethinking. Because why? Your words hurt them in such a way that they start thinking, you know what, am I really such a person? Am I really like that? They'll start questioning themselves. And we don't want that there. Rather, we want the person to think, you know what, I'm... And always remember, Allah Ta'ala created us, and we are the best of creation, and we are the ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we should always remember, there is nothing wrong with us. There is absolutely nothing wrong with us. Yes, we will sin. We will commit sin, knowingly and unknowingly. But Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. Allah Ta'ala is Al-Ghafoor. Allah loves to forgive. Allah Ta'ala's mercy overpowers his anger. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never despair in the mercy of Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you for your sins. As long as you have that faith in tawakkal, that Allah will forgive you and we don't return to that sin, Allah Ta'ala, Almighty Allah, will forgive us. Ameen. And when you look at these, this, with this emotion, with anger, we're gonna be discussing a few pointers as to how it will affect our spiritual being. And it can lead to sins like backbiting. You know, when you have a lot of anger, then you start talking about other people. You know, you start making ribat, start backbiting, you start cursing, you start taking false oaths. You know why? Because you got that anger in you. It doesn't, you don't know how to. It's like from Shaitan that you are doing all these things. You feel nothing. You can lie to a person with a straight face and feel nothing. Why? Because you got that anger built up in you. You don't let it out. You know, let it out in a good way. Make wudu. I would read constantly, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Read your salah, connect with Almighty Allah. And in the moments of rage, it can weaken our iman of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every one of us. Ameen. And when we have this outburst of anger, it can destroy relationships and friendships over years that you built. You know, trust takes years to build, but it can take a split second to break. A person, you may know a friend that trusted you. You say, I trust you with my life. You know, you get people that say that because they've known you for so many years and the relationship that you built with them, you know, you forge that relationship with them that, you know what, you can walk into their house. You know, you say, make yourself at home. You become so close to them. But one day, something, Allah forbid, something happens. You break that person's trust or a misunderstanding. And you, as a person, you tell him other words. And it leads out to an argument. And you start getting angry and you start telling him all these things. You know, it can break friendships, even with families. Families, yesterday we did about mending family ties. Because of anger, look how it ties in. The anger that you build up and you have an argument within the family, family stops speaking. Why? Because of the anger, you could not control your anger. The same thing if you thought about it and looked at the situation without speaking just then and there. You know, things would have been different. But you chose to let the anger control you and you broke friendship, you broke relationships, you broke family ties. Sometimes even marriages break because why? Out of anger, the person will give his wife talak, 3 talak, just like that. Then what they want to say? No, it was a mistake. Talak is talak. You gave 3 out of anger, there's no, like Mufti Sahib says, there's no loophole. Once you give 3, 3 is 3, not 3 is 1. 3 is 3. And because of that anger, a relationship, a marriage had been broken. Why? Because you let the anger and the emotion get the better of you. When a person is angry, it often loses their temper and lose respect for others. Like we mentioned earlier, that when a person says, "Ah, you know what, I'm a straightforward person, I say it as it is." But by saying that, you lose respect for other people. You know, you tell the person, you just say what comes out of your mouth and what's on your chest. But we don't realize the repercussion and how it will affect that person. Then maybe that person is a softy. Maybe that person is a very soft-hearted person. And that person can't take, not criticism, but rather harsh tone. When you're speaking to a person in a harsh tone, that's why we must speak to people or a person with a very humble tone and make them understand. This is 1, 2, 3. You can say the same thing instead of screaming, fighting, shouting, you know, all those things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the strength in controlling the anger. A man asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, advise me." He says, "Don't get angry." The man repeated his request several times, and each time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Do not get angry." This is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. This repeated advice underscores its immense importance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said that the strong man is not the one who can wrestle or can defeat other people, but rather is the man who can control himself when he's angry. You know, if a person, you know, we say that word, you're poking with me, you are needling me, you are driving me to that point where you're going to get angry. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the person, the strong person is the one who can handle and control his anger when being taunted at, when being poked, when being provoked. That's a person, that's a strong person who can handle themselves, who can control their anger. Say, you know what? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Constantly, constantly say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah Ta'ala will give you and make your heart qalb salim. That's what we want. We want a heart of peace. We want a heart of contentment. Qalb salim. We want people to look at us as, with a smile. Not to say, hey, you know what? This is always coming now. You know, he doesn't know how to talk to people. He just says anyhow and he makes a noise here and there. We don't want people to look at us in such a way and in such an with such an eye that, you know what, when they see us coming, they don't want to associate themselves with us. Rather, we should rather control our anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the hidayat, inshallah, to practice on controlling our anger. So we're going to be starting something very, we had this program before when we used to do the recipe segment, but alhamdulillah, before starting our show, we had Maulana Zaid and myself had a discussion, and she says, Brother Suleiman, can you, you know, we used to do that hadith on Riyadu Salihin. And he says, Brother Suleiman, can we implement it and start it again, inshallah? So I said, no, you know what, why not? I mean, I've got 45 minutes and Morana will do about 15-20 minutes. So inshallah, with regards to these programs, on a Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays, from 10:30 to about 10:45, 10:50, inshallah, Morana will join us and we will be doing Riyadu Salihin with us. So, inshallah, we're going to be welcoming Maulana Zaid. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummiyi. Continuing with our Riyadu Salihin, jazakumullah khairan to Brother Suleiman Esop for giving us this opportunity. It is an opportunity because every time we quote a hadith or every time we teach someone else in English and in current modern day words, you will say this year is empowering someone. And you saw in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you saw in the life of Sayyiduna Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it was all about empowering the next person, saving the next person who was going, heading towards Jahannam, and rescuing them with this beautiful kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, entails the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this, where we share hadith, it's in fact, it's teaching ourselves to be better people. If you just see Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu's statement, and this comes in Bukhari, and it comes Sahih al-Bukhari under the chapter of Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu. And Manaqibu Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. And there it mentions Mawla Abi Bakrin radiallahu anhu. So under there you'll find the statement of Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu, where he says, Abu Bakrin Sayyiduna wa a'taqa Sayyidana. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is our leader and he freed our leader. And there it mentions Yani Bilalan, meaning Bilal radiallahu anhu. So you can see this empowering others, giving others an opportunity to be free. In this world, when you look around you, you can just look at the statement and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Asijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir, the dunya, it is a prison for the believer. And this is wa jannatul kafir. It is a paradise for the kuffar. And you can see, once I was standing, we were by someone's house, and we were admiring the pool, the garden, all of this. But then I'm wondering, I'm sitting in this lounge, I'm admiring this beautiful scene, and there is all of these burglar bars that are there. You know, in South Africa, if you do not have burglar bars, it's what's wrong with you. So these burglar bars were there. And we're looking on this beautiful garden, greenery, lush. And this was the pool that was there and the rest. And I'm thinking to myself, this is exactly this hadith. A dunya sijnul mu'min. The dunya, it is a prison for the believers. You are not looking at the beauty of this worldly life, but rather your gaze, your vision. It is there, which is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. You turn to Surah Al-Mutaffifin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about those people who do good actions. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي النَّعِيمِ. Surely those who do good, they will be in bliss. They will be in total bliss. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْدُرُونَ. They will be reclining, watching scenes. Scenes of Jannah, scenes of happiness. And this is everlasting. So this particular segment, Riyadu Salihin, we seek inshallah to continue with this. And here you can see, we stopped last, if you look at the podcast, Riyadu Salihin, you can just type in my name and then you go and you'll see it on Google, Riyadu Salihin. The hadith will come up, all the podcasts there. The last hadith we did was hadith 516. And going along, we felt that there's something that is missing in our lives. And perhaps it was this which we started with, and that is Riyadu Salihin. So inshallah, what is the meaning of Riyadu Salihin? Riyadu Salihin means the gardens of the pious. The gardens of the pious. So we want to equip ourselves to becoming abrar, to be classified as those who did noble actions. This is Riyadu Salihin. You'll find all of these beautiful ahadith here. And inshallah, this is what we aim and seek to share with you. Coming to this next hadith, 517, in which we want to do today. Hadith 517. This all falls under simplicity. See, if something is too complex, it becomes very difficult for you to practice upon. If a lifestyle is... and you're looking at celebrities of today, then you will see their money plays a big role in attempting to imitate them even. It just then puts you down, it breaks your morale, and you know you cannot imitate a lifestyle like that because there's a lot of extravagance in it. But when something is simple, it's beautiful, it's easy. Just this weekend on Sunday, we were in Marlborough, and I was looking at the Marlborough Masjid, and I told my father that, honestly, if you see when this masjid was built over 35 years ago, he mentioned to me, it still sticks and it still stands with its original white color. And if you see the interior, and Hazrat Mulana Yunus Daya Rahimullah played a big role in this. And you know, used to have those Tuesday night programs, which we dearly miss. And in there, you would mention so many things, so many beneficial things. And we were going to university, but we said at least we should have some link to Deen. And we just used to aspire Tuesday nights, be whatever, but I have to be there for that program. And what a difference it makes into identifying Islam the correct way. In today's world, you will see all these tournaments, now you're getting girls tournaments and tarbiyah attached to it with words of this nature. We say to you that that did not intrigue us, nor was it possibly existent as much as it is today. But really what it intrigues a person is what the Quran Sharif tells us. Quran Sharif doesn't say you must use the ways of the kuffar to pull people towards Islam. Quran Sharif is telling you in verse 119, Surah At-Tawbah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of Iman, ittaqullah, fear Allah, wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, and be with the truthful. Truthful, this quality has been identified here. Truthful, being truthful. Why has this quality been identified? Because you can be a scholar, you can be a tradesman, you can be wherever it is, whichever field you are in. But the key aspect is, you as a father, you as a mother, it can go broad. You have to have this quality of sidq, truthfulness. You know, we did a whole beautiful chapter on sidq, babu sidq, in the beginning. Allama Nawawi Rahimullah, 45 years of age, has put together this compilation of Riyadu Salihin. So there you found a whole chapter on sidq. So developing this quality of sidq. Because if once you have this, whichever field you are in, you're going to be truthful. And once you are truthful, this now identifies you as a believer. Because firstly, you are truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are truthful to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his practices. So we were saying to you, when something is simple, then it becomes easy to emulate. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life was simple. And you look at the squatters of today, you look at those simple structures of today, and then you know the length and the breadth and the height of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's household, you will say that these people, they almost have a house like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if not even bigger. And they have this opportunity, every single person has an opportunity to engage in the sunnah and to be part and parcel of this beautiful lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful sunnah. So today, hadith 517. What is the hadith about? The hadith is about simplicity. Simplicity is part of iman. And you'll see, وَعَنْ أَبِي أُمَامَةَ إِيَاسِ بْنِ ثَعْلَبَ الْأَنصَارِيِّ الْحَارِثِيِّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ. This hadith mentions, ذَكَرَ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمًا عِنْدَهُ الدُّنْيَا. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, noble companions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, had spoken to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam about this worldly life. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So they were speaking about the dunya, the rest. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now look at this. From this, how many lessons don't you take? Teaching skills. They want to tell us and they want to tell others how to teach. Where are you learning this from? From the West. But look at this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teaching techniques. What is it? To catch your attention. You are listening wherever you may be. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Ala tasma'un? Are you not listening? Innal badadata min al iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, do you not hear? Simplicity is part of iman. Simplicity is part of iman. So this simplicity and the simple way, saadgi, they call it in Urdu. Simplicity. Once you have it, it becomes easy for you and then for you to move forward in this particular cause of getting closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. It requires simplicity. I was telling you, Marlborough Masjid, simple white paint. Look at the interior. They didn't need to do any changes to it. Until today, you can see, if you go in that masjid, you'll see there's a beautiful pleasurable sight with that greenery that is there, and the green lights, you know, during Taraweeh when we were younger, then they off the lights, and you just, the lights are green, it gives off that green color everywhere. And I recall there was this one French uncle, and he used to tell me that one thing that makes this masjid outstanding is that greenery, that green lighting and the rest. But if you see, there's no extravagance. It's simple. And that's what it is. Simplicity is a trend that never dies. You keep it simple. You keep it unique. And this is what it is. To keep it unique. Utility. Because that is the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But once there's too much of extravagance and you want your wedding, it must be millions and millions of riyals. Then, what does Quran Sharif classify such a person as? Allah protect us, myself, yourself. We may be speaking about weddings, but in other avenues, we may be extravagant in those avenues. Look at the verse of the Quran Sharif and you see chapter 17, Suratul Isra, and you turn to verse 27. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. If someone calls me the brother of shaitan, or I call someone else a brother of shaitan, they'll say, look at this person. But Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, the squanderers are the brothers of shaitan. Go see the verse. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. They are the brothers of shaitan. So coming back to this, we need to live simple lives. And in simplicity, there is barakah. Barakah is not something that you and I can see. Barakah is not figures. Barakah is not what you see. Barakah is, well, I'll give you the explanation of barakah. We went to Bangladesh. And you know how spoiled we are here in South Africa. And then they used to give us mug. And we used to eat it. There were others who never used to eat it. But we said, then you're going to be left starving. We used to eat that mug. It wasn't as tasty as we would ever aspire a mug to be. But because we said, whatever comes our way, we will make shukr. That mug, with its taste, we enjoyed it. And it was satisfying to the stomach. This is what you call barakah. You can't see it. You can't understand it. It's not a big bag of balance. It is in the simplicity. Simplicity. And the opposite of simplicity is extravagance. Today you're going to have lunch. Just now. Or you're going to have whichever country you may be. Our difference and the rest. Hourly difference. You must see your plate when you are putting it in the basin. If you even put it in the basin. Or must everything be done by the domestic? So you must look at your plate and see, as a believer, am I really resembling this as a believer? Where cleanliness plays such a big and important role. Allah loves cleanliness. So you have to see in every avenue, you have to become complete. I'll share with you this here, and then we'll end. We had one Sheikh Dawood from Canada. He did a program with us a while back. So we asked him what was one of the motivational factors, and he said something that you and I will never ever imagine or fathom to understand as being something that motivate someone. But see how the sunnah works, the simplicity of the sunnah. So he says, this doctor invited me. I was interested in Islam. I was still inquiring. It was during those days. And here there was this doctor, and it was in Canada, and he was eating, and after he ate, he licked his fingers. He licked his fingers. Now you and I will feel shy, will feel, hey, this might just turn the person away from Islam and the rest. The doctor didn't mind. See his title, but his attachment to the sunnah. Every avenue, being truthful to the cause, being truthful to the sunnah, being truthful to Allah, this is what it means. So he licked his fingers. There's a potential believer that's sitting there, and he is now sitting there and he's watching. He says, this action motivated me to accept Islam. One of the motivational factors. You want to say it's the only factor. It was a build-up of things. But this was one of the factors. I said, a Muslim licks his fingers. Look how clean is his plate. Look how he presents himself. Whereas we will want to change our ways and now eat with a fork and a knife because we need to now, you know, blend in and seem attractive to the next person. But no, that was not the case. The simple, beautiful sunnah of sucking, licking the fingers. This is what attracted him and he became a Muslim. If today you know about him, he's put up a masjid and so much of when I speak to my sister who is there, they mention all these things. They've moved away from there into other areas. And now when they say, when they reflect and they look back at what he's doing, it's unimaginable. But I'm just saying, pointing out to you this factor here. So simplicity is the sunnah. The sunnah is simple. Wherever it is, take it across the board. That is the beautiful, noble sunnah. Ala tasma'un? Ala tasma'un? Are you not listening? Are you not listening? Innal badadata min al iman. Innal badadata min al iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, simplicity is part of iman. Simplicity is part of iman. Wa akhiru da'wana ani alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
And we say Jazakallah khairan to Maulana Zaid Khan for joining us and doing the Riyadu Salihin. You know, we haven't heard the verses, the advices, and beautifully said, you know, Maulana mentioned with regards to the Marlborough Masjid, and it still has its beautiful white shine. During the month of Ramadan in Taraweeh, it gives off that green effect. And you know, and we drove past a couple of times and we've seen that beautiful effect as what Maulana has mentioned. And it's been so beautifully kept and well kept. And you know why? It's because our pious predecessors that have left a mark and left the mark for us to follow in their footsteps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of them that have left us from this dunya and return to the mercy of Almighty Allah, Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to follow into their footsteps. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Let me give you the lineup that's to follow, inshallah. Next up will be the 11 o'clock news with Maulana Zaid Khan. And from 11 to 12 will be the FIQH program with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab and Maulana Zaid Khan. 12 o'clock will be the news with myself. 12 to 12.55 will be the news hour with Alpha Sinkosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 1:05 to 1:30 will be the Tafsir of Surah Tawbah, verses 32. Then 1:30 to 2 will be the repeat of the Tafsir of Surah Al-Imran, verses 1:37 to 1:39. 2 to 3 will be the lunch break with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah and Mulana Musa Akhwari's advices. 4 to 5 will be the Urdu lecture by Qari Hanif Multani rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu. He was a great soldier. Khalid bin Walid was a great soldier of Allah. And so it's a very beautiful lecture in Urdu. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir of Surah Tawbah, verse number 32. 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Dawood Sidat, and Maulana will be giving us advices. Only Allah Ta'ala grants tawfiq to do good. Hukukul Ibad includes the fulfilling the rights of our children and our wives. That will be the topic. 8 to 9 will be the olive tree with myself. Well, don't forget to send in your messages. And if you want to read any nasheed, want to read a qiraat, you can read it and you can send it on the WhatsApp numbers. And if you would like to call in, the number 011-854-1316. Then at 9 o'clock will be our Isha Adhan. Then 9:05 to 10 will be Qalb al-Salim with the Maulana Salim Kareem. Then from 10 to 11 will be the repeat of the Qasida Burda with Maulana Zaid Khan. And then 11 to 12 will be Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki al-Shaheed, the Medina edition. And from the team of the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isop, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays. Remember, today being a Thursday, inshallah, after Maghrib, we'll bring in the eve of Yawm al-Jum'ah. Don't forget to send a durood and salawat on our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad al-Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we say Jazakallah khairan to Mulana Zaid Khan for joining us. Inshallah, Mulana will be joining us every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays, and you'll be doing the Riyadu Salihin with us. You say Jazakallah khairan from the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Bi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Duaon mein yaad rakhna, duaon.